That's recording.
All right, folks. Welcome. It's another episode of the Gary and Mark Show, and I'm Gary.
And I'm Mark. And today we're coming from Watershed.
Right? Yeah.
But we have a guest down the road in Saluda.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking with Mike Reeves in just a second.
Yeah.
But, Gary, this is episode number 61.
Really?
Yep.
61.
61.
Okay.
And our last episode with Bob Bessel, remember World War II?
Oh, yeah. Well,
that has topped 1,000 downloads, views. So.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to visit him again, too, aren't we?
We need to.
Yeah.
He's what probably going to turn 103 before too long.
Yeah.
Mike's not nearly that old.
Not quite.
And if you add Gary and I up, we'd be, that won't get into that.
We're not, yeah.
All right, well, Gary, it's been a while since we've been together, right?
It has been.
And I was checking on things down at the Gary and Mark Podcasting University.
Were you?
And I looked at the local paper,
uh-huh.
Watershed Gazette.
Yeah, it comes out once every 2 weeks.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And this current issue, mm-hmm. they listed, this is going to be shocking, the taxes owed by people.
Uh-huh.
Late taxes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you. Here it is for our viewers. We're mostly audio.
Can they read that?
No, they can't, but I'll post it on it. Look down about 2/3 of the way.
DD Investments. There's, 132 and change and 709.
How much is that all together?
Well, that adds up to more $840-something.
You agree? DD Investments, LLC. Yeah. Now, for folks who are new to our podcast, DD is our head of security.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe she has other businesses.
Well, at the campus, she's also head of insecurity.
That's
remember?
True.
Because some of the students are insecure.
And she helped come up with idea of your product of security briefs.
Yeah, security brief. Yeah.
Okay.
Getting them on a motorcycle.
But you know what? She's been good to us.
Uh-huh.
We may have to raise some money.
Well,
I mean, the show has no money.
No.
And that's why we're hoping to get Mike here. He's used to raising money.
Uh-huh. Well,
he may have some other ideas.
I thought, would this be the time? Here we go.
Uh-oh,
the Rabbit Island Gospel. Can you see that?
The
official Rabbit Island Gospel is the one endorsed by all the folks down here in Watershed. This is the one you want. And this, we can sell you, $89.95?
For something that big and heavy? I think it ought to be 80. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I don't know, Mark. That's pretty nice.
It is a nice volume.
Look at it. And this is the one we endorse.
That's right.
I don't know, and I'm not bad-mouthing anybody else selling Bibles, but the gospel, the Rabbit Island gospel, hold it up.
It is something.
This is the one we endorse. So you're saying $89.95?
I could be good with that. What do you think, Mike?
How about if you buy one, you get another one for $79.95 and free shipping, huh?
You know, shipping's expensive.
So. Yeah, shipping is expensive.
And this is
good.
A heavy book because it's got the word in it.
And you actually mentioned throwing in as a third bonus, Big Whiz.
The Big Whiz Pocket Buddy for those men out there who find themselves standing in line waiting to use, queuing up to the urinal, and then it's their turn and people behind them aren't hearing anything. That's when he hit that little button, the Big Whiz Pocket Buddy, and it makes some noise. And the people waiting behind you back up because they think that guy, he can really move some water. So,
you think you needed something like that, Mike?
Yeah.
That could be the big money raise for everything.
They're the Big Whiz
Pocket Buddy.
You know, when COVID hit, people weren't standing in line anymore and sales plummeted.
Mm-hmm.
But people are queuing up again.
Yep.
Yep. And men, especially old men, of which I am one, that Big Whiz comes in handy.
Uh-huh.
Hit that little button. Put that app on your phone. Boom.
And you can cut that volume up. And
oh, yeah.
Like Gary says, they show you respect.
They back up.
They back up. They're afraid to even walk in there.
Sure.
Put out a fire.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's a good idea. So they order this by going to GaryandMark.com.
GaryandMark.com.
We'll put the order form up there.
Yeah, we will.
We're going to kick back a percentage to the our guest here because he's raising some money. He's not talking about raising money today, but he has a nonprofit we'll talk about in just a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Hold that up one more time.
All right, here it is.
$89.99 for copy
there
one.
There it is. Uh-huh.
Second copy for only $79. Yeah. Put banging the table now. Second noise.
And... And then maybe our next podcast, we might start selling sneakers.
I need a pair.
Yeah.
All right. Just,
okay.
Let's move on.
All right.
We've had great guests. I mean, 102-year-old Bob Bessel, World War II veteran. Okay. We've had Molly Perkins and her gospel great. She runs a gospel quartet.
Yeah.
But today we have someone that's going to top them all. We have with us today... Mike Reeves, who lives in nearby Saluda.
Oh.
And Mike's not just a resident. He's not the mayor, but he could be, because everybody knows him. Maybe he should be. So do you live in the city limits?
I don't live in the city limits, so I can't be mayor.
You can't be mayor. Now, he lives in the town of Saluda, but Mike is board chair of the Saluda. What's the official name, Mike?
Saluda Historic Depot and Museum.
Cool. Which is probably a one-minute walk. No, we're in Watershed. So when drive a car and park, it'd be a one-minute walk. Just up the road from us.
Yeah, about 6 miles.
So, and Mike, I've known Mike quite some time, but he's going to talk about this. But this little town of Saluda that we like to visit is amazing and exists all because of one thing, pretty much. And that would be the coming of the railroad up here.
That's right,
and
Mark.
Gary and I, we worked at summer camps, and I know our friend Chris Peters used to take the train from Baltimore, get off in Asheville, but I bet you there's some New Orleans kids that made it up to the train, got picked up.
Zirconia. Picked up in Zirconia.
You remember that?
Well, not in my time, but there were pictures still of, you know, the train stopping in Zirconia, and that's where the New Orleans kids would get off.
So, pretty cool. I did not know that. Mike, do you know where the old depot is in Zirconia?
I really don't.
I don't either. The railroad's got to go by the new rail
trail. It's kind of that old 25, which is now what's it called? 25?
225.
225. Yeah. Little switchback, kind of where, I think, near where, well, couldn't tell. There's a little spot right there.
But this mic got a little closer.
All right. But anyway, that's where it was, because I do remember a train stop, unload and feed for camp.
Really?
Uh-huh. There one time. It's where the train tracks come real close to, what is it again, 225. Yeah.
Well, anyhow, so this is Mike Reeves. Mike, we're happy to have you on.
Yes,
tell us how it came to be that the railroad ended up here.
Well, Mark and Gary, I want to thank you for having me on your show today. Very excited about it. Yes.
Yeah.
As you said, I am the chairperson for the Saluda Historic Depot, and we have a very rich history of the railroad in this area. Let's back up a little bit. Let's back up to the 1830s at the port of Charleston. Charleston was a large port, and they had all these products that came into their port, and they needed to go somewhere. They wanted them to go to the Ohio River Valley, which was the big industrial center in the United States. And the Ohio River Valley wanted their products to be shipped out, so they wanted them to go to Charleston. So they came up with an idea of, why don't we have the railroad, which would be the most cost-effective an efficient way of moving their products. So they started to build a railroad. The first steam locomotive was the best friend of Charleston. They continued building the railroad, and at one point it reached Aiken, South Carolina. At that point, it was the longest railroad in the world. The longest railroad in the world, yes. They continued to build the, I'm kind of cutting it short here, some of the history. Of course, the Civil War kind of slowed things down a bit, but after the Civil War, they continued, and they eventually got up to the city of Tryon. Once they got there, they tried to decide, what are we going to do? We have several different ways. We can go out into the Mills River area. We can go up where the Saluda grade is, where they have the I-26, or they could go up along the Blue Ridge Escarpment. They thought about it long and hard, and the first way was just going to be too much building. They'd have to have tunnels, 11 miles more track, or they could go up where the highway is now. But the engineers decided that it was too dangerous because the ground was unstable. So they chose going up the Blue Ridge Escarpment, which is along the Pacolet River. It took them from 1877 to 1878 to make it to Saluda. 1 year to build a a railroad from Tryon up this grade to Saluda. The grade is the steepest mainline railroad in the United States. Let me say it again. It's the steepest mainline railroad in the United States. It's 5%. 5% is over 2.5 times what the grade is for a train. A train has difficulty at 2%. This was 5. So on 1878, July 4th, the train made its way into Saluda. It came in puffing and steaming, and the town went crazy and celebrated. That's 1878, July 4th. In 1881, the city of Saluda was incorporated. Before that, it was called Pace's Gap, which was basically a drover crossing, the Buncombe Turnpike, which I'm sure you've all heard about.
Yeah. What's a drover crossing?
A drover crossing is cattle, turkeys, pigs, sheep. Yeah.
This is an educational thing.
Yeah. We try to be educational. So by 1893, we had 40,000 passengers come through Saluda in 1 year. 1896, we had 72,000 passengers come through in 1 year. By 1903, we had 321 passengers come through Saluda in 1 year.
That is amazing.
It is amazing. And then Saluda was a really big deal then. So at that point in time, the Southern Railway built the depot that we currently have now. And we had a lot of accidents on the Saluda grade. It was a very dangerous building. It was very dangerous to operate because of the steepness of it. Steam locomotives have no brakes. So when they tend to slide, they just keep right on going. So there were several bad accidents in 1903. There was one in July and August. In June, it was Pitt Blue, and he broke his back, but he did survive, the engineer did. But by the time they had the third accident, the Southern Railway said, you know, we need to do something to curb this. We need to find a solution, or we're going to have to shut it down. Pitt Blue said, you know, gravity got us into this. Gravity can get us out. So he came up with the concept of a runaway track, which if you look at it on our diorama display in the depot, it looks exactly like what you see on the highways today.
On the interstate, the truck, yeah.
Exactly. That came from the Saluda grade.
Hmm.
So things went along fine. The passenger trains and everything went well. In 1968, passenger service came to an end. Mm-hmm. The depot was decommissioned. And it was slotted for to be destroyed. It sat there for a number of years. In 1983, the depot was moved to its current location, which is right next door to the library. In 2015, the depot came up for sale again, and a group of local residents got together and decided we need to save this history because it's really a rich history. The railroad is so important to Western North Carolina, the city of Saluda, that we felt we needed to turn it into a museum, which is what we did. We are a nonprofit. Our mission is to preserve and present the history of the railroad coming to Saluda, of the railroad coming to Western North Carolina, and its importance to the commerce of the area. We have many, many items within the depot that have been in the original depot and have been gifted back to us by people who were able to acquire them. It's a very interesting museum, and we really strive to preserve and present the history as it was. We don't try to color it. We don't try to change it. We want it to be what it is. We feel that going forward, our visitors need to know what we are about and why we're here and why we are important to the city of Saluda. As you're both aware, there is a project going on now where they're trying to bring the Saluda Grade Trail to this area.
And we rail are, trail.
The rail trail. Trail. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We are at the very top, and Saluda is the destination for the trail. at the top of the trail.
But won't it continue to Zirconia, though? Isn't that part of the plan?
It will continue to Zirconia. It's from Inman to Zirconia. It's roughly 31 miles. The funding is almost in place at this point, which is huge.
Yeah.
That's funding to buy the right-of-way or not to build?
No. This is to buy the right-of-way.
Okay.
And then they have to do fundraisers again to try to get money.
We could come up with something for that. Hey,
you guys sure could. Yeah. Uh-huh. You guys are very creative.
Yeah, we are.
And so what I'd like to do is invite all the people to come visit us. We have many programs. One of the things, we are open Thursday through Sunday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are 12 to 4, and Sundays 1 to 3. And there is no admission charge. You're just welcome to come in and enjoy and see, ask questions. We have a very nice diorama that Apple Valley Model Railroad helped build for us. Many displays, videos of what the current Saluda grade looks like through a drone video along with the history, and many other displays, operating telegraph display, et cetera, et cetera. Please come visit us. It's free. We also have the third Friday of every month, we have a Train Tales, and that's also free. All our programs and everything we present are free. We also try to have a Night at the Museum presentation where our volunteers and local people dress up in costume and
it's
present.
It's entertaining. I've seen that.
Yeah, and we present the, actually Mark videoed for us.
I did. We'll link to that.
And there is a link to that. So we'd like to invite you all to come up and visit us and say howdy.
All right, Mike, that's great.
That sounds great.
Have you ever been in that museum?
I haven't. No, the one in Hendersonville, since I'm the proud owner of three granddaughters, I visit that place.
Hold that mic up,
I visit that place frequently with them to watch trains run, and I grew up. I grew up with trains. I mean, my second grade school trip. This is Frankfort, Kentucky. What's our second grade school trip? Go down to the Frankfort train station and hop on the train and ride to Shelbyville to the Coca-Cola bottling plant.
That sounds like a great trip.
And then as, I think, age 5, I probably rode the train all the way to the Texas Panhandle with my parents. And then my wife and I, when my in-laws were still alive and lived up in Media, we could drive from Hendersonville down, hop on the train in Greenville, and take the train all the way to the main train station and then get a local, hop off, and had about a quarter mile walk to their house. I like uh-huh. trains.
I do too. Mike, I know you went to Europe. You rode trains there?
Yes, we did.
So have you ever ridden on a U.S. passenger train?
I was on the last excursion train in 1994.
The
611 that came up through, that was really exciting.
Oh, I didn't know you were on that. It's cool.
I was. It did slip, but it was able to make it under its own power coming up the Saluda grade.
I didn't think about that. I would have thought it would have had six extra engines with all those
people on board. No, it did make it. It was touch and go there for a while, but it did make it.
And Gary, he's actually driven the train.
Whoa.
I have.
Okay.
Tell him about that.
My
birthday present or something.
It is. My darling wife, Mary. One year, she got me a package to where I could operate a GP18 over at Spencer. So I got to run the train. It was the end of the day. I was able to put it onto the turntable and put it into the ground house, which was really big. And I got a private tour of all the engines there. The next year, she got real creative. And I got to run a steam locomotive. It was a small switcher engine. And
at the same place, Spencer?
At the same place at Spencer. And so what I did was she arranged it so I could be there first thing in the morning, help them fire up the engine, and be the first engineer of the day.
Wow.
So that was very exciting.
Got a photo of that somewhere?
I do.
Send that to me. We'll put that with the video version of this podcast.
I will. Yeah. Thank you, Mary.
Hail Mary. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. She might need our little gospel over there.
That's right.
Well, we're going to move on to something else. But, Mike, thank you so much. You're going to stay here and listen. You're going to chime in as we get moving here.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about, for a minute here, if I can find the right music. Maybe not. Doesn't matter. Where did my music go? I'll sing something. But we are. Dayton history.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. April 9.
April 9th.
1865. Robert E. Lee surrenders the Army of Northern Virginia to U.S. Grant.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me.
Appomattox Courthouse.
That's,
And it's only, what, 159 years ago. And okay. You got people still arguing.
They do. They do. It is interesting, yeah. And probably always will be.
Well, I'm thinking you look at some animosity in other countries, it could probably be worse than
true.
It is.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I remember seeing photographs when they would have these reunions, even when there were plenty of people still living from both sides. They were pretty friendly, those usually.
Especially the reunion at Gettysburg 50 years after, and that was, if you remember, who's the famous documentary guy, did the whole Civil War series?
Oh, Ken Burns.
Yeah, and it was all still photos until he got to that final episode, and you see it's actually moving pictures of the old Confederate men climbing over the wall on Cemetery Ridge, and this time it's the Union veterans helping them over.
They were making a film at that time?
Yeah, 1913.
Oh, okay, I missed the part about reenacting stuff.
50 years later. Uh-huh.
Because that was the first war that was photographed, I think, documented with photography, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, for us anyway. I don't know if Crimea didn't really count.
Gary is a historian, and Mike knows everything about railroad history, at least
in this that's country. Great. That's great.
I hardly know anything. I have my list of other things this day, but that was the most important one.
Well, and I think, as Mike brought, the fact that the railroad, the trying to get this Saluda grade, the connection for more greenways is just a great way to move forward whatever else is happening.
Mm-hmm. It really is, yeah.
This town of Saluda, and Mike could tell you, is only 700 full-time residents.
That's true.
It is hopping. It is hopping.
On the weekends, we are just plain slammed, the whole downtown Saluda area. People love coming here. It's a very interesting place. It's small. It's got a very unique character. And it's only three blocks long. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the town goes beyond that. But that's downtown.
That's downtown.
And one block's torn up right this minute.
Well, new sidewalks.
And what's going on with the park over there?
Oh, okay.
Pickleball.
Well, actually, in preparation for the coming of the Saluda Grade Trail, the city's in the process of preparing and getting ready for it. They're going to have a water pad for the kids. They're going to, they're going to have some kind of a climbing thing, trails.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
They're moving and increasing the parking lot, but moving it so that the trail actually comes in front of the where the old parking lot is now. And they're going to add more parking along the outside across from the depot, actually. They're supposed to be adding 90 new spaces.
What?
A new road. They're really
90
planning
new spaces
ahead.
Would, like, triple what's already here. Don't
pretty much, yeah.
No,
I mean, there's parking.
Yeah. Because, of course, again, as being the top of the Saluda Grade, we're going to be a hot spot. We are going to be a hot spot.
Yeah, imagine, like, I think Great Smokies, one of my favorite nearby national park.
Oh, yeah.
You go there a lot, but the challenge is parking your car.
Yeah.
And people want to go, you know, this will be a real magnet. People,
oh, yeah.
That's a good idea. Probably will down the pike have shuttle services.
I hope the other towns are doing what Saluda's going to do.
Well, I think once Watershed, we're going to talk about this in another episode, wanting to put in that roundabout.
Oh, no, that would be cool. You had mentioned that once before.
Yeah. We just need some other roads to come in to get out of it, but we want to have our own roundabout.
It's just the one road, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be kind of fun to put a bike roundabout up here where people drive their bike in little slots and you switch, turn it around and go the other direction.
Oh, that kind of roundabout.
Yeah.
That's not the train.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the ones.
The ones in the road.
The ones that are throwing everybody off.
Yes, yes.
When they put the one in Columbus, you talk about throwing these old people off.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll suggest that to Conserving Carolina about maybe we need a bike roundabout. Not bad.
Not a bad idea. So you say you give credit to the Gary and Mark show.
I will. Gary and Mark, yeah.
Here we are. Well, we are going to wrap this up in a minute. It's been a good episode, but I noticed, Gary, also one more thing. We talked about Robert E. Lee surrendering troops. 1 year later on this day, Ulysses S. Grant arrested for speeding in his horse buggy, newspaper reports.
Really?
That's what it says.
Well,
and other things too, but I thought that was pretty good.
I didn't know about that. Yeah. You know, he was a horse whisperer.
He was?
He really was good with horses. That's true. Yeah, he wasn't good at business, but he was great with horses.
Well, we have one more order of business here before we close up today.
Yes, I know what's coming now.
Gary always knows here what's coming. He does not. No, he doesn't. I don't think Mike's ever heard of
Mike
episodes.
Here, we like him here in the center. It's like he would be the center on our basketball team.
So we're going to let Gary do this.
Okay.
That's his main job.
Well, so here we go. We want to present to Mike Reeves a BS in podcasting from the Gary and Mark Podcasting University. I know this is going to go right on Mike's wall. I don't know which wall.
We've already framed it for him.
It's already framed, and he's got a complimentary GM PU sticker.
He can
stick that wherever you want it, Mike.
This is just exciting. I can't believe it. Wow.
There you go.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
You come in here to talk to us, and the next thing you know, you're a graduate.
And you know what? We could use a director of transportation.
We could. We could use it.
Would you accept that position at the university?
I think it would be definitely something I'd like to do.
All right, you don't even have to be a graduate, but you are now. You're honored with honors.
High honors.
You know, one thing I've just noticed is that education is expensive, but talk is cheap.
That's true.
That's right.
That's your motto, correct?
I say education is painful and expensive.
That is true, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great. We've accomplished a lot. We're announcing the new sales of the Gospel of Rabbit Island, raising money for get Dee Dee out of a hot water.
Yeah.
Heard about this town of Saluda, North Carolina, off of I-26.
Yeah.
With this great museum. Mike's in charge. He's got lots of volunteers. I'm sure you'd get Gary. Gary could tell him.
Yeah, Gary, you guys could join us. This would be very exciting. We'd like to have you.
We could do that. We could draw all of our fan base. The ones the living, ones surviving family.
They could all show up at once.
You have room for them, probably. Even park them all. So this has been fun. I like to do these little episodes. Great to have guests like this.
Well, thank you.
All right, Gary, so it's been great.
Yep. All right, Mark.
What do we usually say? That's it?
Something like that. It's another episode winding up. See you next time.
Looking forward to it.
Y'all come back.
We will.